We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the RotoWire Soccer DFS Show. We are after dark, but it's not Champions League. I'm Jack Burkhart. I am joined by Ryan Belongi. And Ryan, our long national nightmare of no proper classic slate, EPL DFS, feels like it's been, you know, 3 months since we've had a proper slate. And we're rewarded for our wait with a pretty exciting five-game slate. How happy are you to have classic back?
I mean, it feels like the night before Christmas. Yeah, man, it's been brutal. I mean, we were talking about it the other day. Yeah, it feels like forever. We've had some of these FA Cup slates or whatever else, African Cup of Nations. I know you're grinding Liga MX, but I mean, come on, we're starved for some action. And this is a good slate. Five games, which is nice. They included later games, which is nice. We have multiple King of the Pitch qualifiers, which are nice. And the slate, I don't think it's that straightforward, which is nice. You know, we don't have City as a big favorite, which is nice. We don't have Chelsea on here, which is nice for me. So, yeah, I mean, a lot to be happy about with this slate, actually. Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, there really aren't a lot of these boogeyman teams that we hate. I'm very happy to not see Chelsea, though my nemesis, Douglas Luiz, is on this slate. Fortunately, a bit expensive, so I hope he doesn't send me to the torture chamber quite in this one. But Ryan, we could just start breaking into the slate. There's no extreme favorites, so I'm gonna bury the lead here, Ryan. I think it's acceptable if both Eze and Elise start for Crystal Palace. I could imagine people not even playing Bukayo, you know, going no Arsenal in cash games. I think it's viable, but I mean, Saka is going to be one of the top plays. But we'll get more into the plays later. Arsenal are the biggest favorites, but they're not huge favorites. They have a 2.1 implied goal total. It doesn't really eclipse the other teams. It's about 0.4 more than Crystal Palace, 0.3 more than Brighton, and 0.3 more than Aston Villa. That total seems a little high against Newcastle, but we can talk about that. But yeah, Arsenal are the biggest favorites, about 70% to win. And then you have good matchups. So it's about 60% to win for Crystal Palace at home against Sheffield. It's going to be one of the best spots. And we have great floor plays on Crystal Palace. Brighton are favorites on the road at Luton Town. So maybe that's a bit of an open game. And that's evidenced by the somewhat high total. Villa hosting Newcastle. That should be a pretty interesting game. I know Newcastle struggled. A bit surprised to see them kind of lower underdogs. And then we kind of have a junk matchup between Fulham and Everton. It has a lower total. Maybe there are some good plays there, but that's definitely not the most exciting match of the slate. Maybe that makes it good. I don't know, Ryan, what stuck out to you when you were looking at these games?
Yeah, the last game you mentioned, I think that'll go overlooked, Fulham, Everton with the lowest total and just with all the other games. So maybe that's in tournament consideration. I think the Villa-Newcastle game probably goes overlooked for tournaments just because it's the last game and it's already kind of tough to play that game. And just like, you know, people have their lineup set, you know, after the Palace lineup comes out and you only have 15 minutes before lock. Just, yeah, it's interesting to see Villa with that total and Newcastle that big of a dog. I think in the reverse fixture, Aston Villa went to Newcastle and put five on them, won 5-1, just ran rampant, I believe. And that game was just like wild from the start. And maybe that has something to do with these odds with Villa back at home now. I mean, Villa's been playing really well. Yeah, I think the Olise news is, you know, probably the most important on this slate. We don't have him in the projected lineup. I've seen other places don't have him projected, but I don't know. I can see him. I could see him starting. Yeah, and then just I think Brighton probably goes a little bit overlooked because he'll have people on Arsenal and Palace. And yeah, so Brighton will probably go overlooked in tournaments. Good spot against Luton. And then from a player's perspective, you mentioned, yeah, fading Arsenal. I think like from a cash game perspective, Saka is probably the only one you're considering. But yeah, if both Palace guys start, maybe you don't need Saka. Maybe you can fit all three. And then, you know, what do you do with Pascal Gross in a pretty good spot? You know, people are up and down on Gross. Sometimes he's the best. Sometimes he's unfadeable. Sometimes you don't even mention him on a slate like this, and he scores 28 floor points or something. So I don't know. It's an interesting slate.
I agree. I think it's really interesting. So first thing on Olise, about 2 weeks ago, Hodgson was saying it would take about two matches for Olise to come back. And then most recently, so this is today, we have a blurb on rotowire.com. You should subscribe, by the way. He's available. He has trained now. So whatever that means. I'm not so sure if that means we'll see a sub appearance for him or if we'll see like 60 minutes. We'll have to look more into details. I mean, when Olise starts, he usually plays 75 minutes. So I'm inclined just to play him, even if I'm only going to get 65 minutes. It's such a good matchup against a pretty hapless Sheffield United team. I agree. Just kind of looking at the games on the slate, I think Arsenal and Crystal Palace are going to demand the most attention. And there's going to be some other plays. There's some like cheap Newcastle plays, and that's a high total. That seems interesting. It does make me think, Brian, in tournaments, I want to try to intentionally get some Brighton and Hove Albion players in there. I don't think, for whatever reason, you know, maybe they're not projecting quite as well. I have a spreadsheet I'm trying to work with, and they're just a little bit lower. But, I mean, we know the ceilings on Brighton and Hove Albion players are absolutely huge, and I think we might get some discounted ownership. So I totally co-sign that take. Hopefully we don't steam it too much. Yeah, it's pretty exciting stuff going into it. But why don't we start digging into cash games? We can go through the forward position first. I'm trying to remember how we talk on this show. It's incredible. But, yeah, I think the best plays at forward – I think no matter who starts for Crystal Palace, Eze is in a very good position. I believe he's at, 9,600. He's been splitting set pieces, and I think he does take penalties, and he just has a massive floor even without set pieces. It's almost a secondary consideration for Eze. He's one of the top plays there, and then you have Bukayo Saka at 10,500. Only one who really reliably takes set pieces, and he just has a much better floor than all of his teammates. I think if Olise doesn't play, Ryan, it's as simple as plugging in those two guys and then working with the rest of your lineup. But I don't know, where do you think Pascal Gross fits in this conversation?
Yeah, I think I side with you. I mean, it's very close. It's a good spot for Gross, but I agree that like it's a better spot for Eze. I think even if Olise starts, yeah, like you mentioned, probably still has pens, probably going to play 90 minutes. The floor is good, even without set pieces. And he's cheaper. So he kind of seems like the first guy in. And it kind of seems like Gross is the odd man out. You know, I don't know. It's tough. Fading Gross has not worked out this year for the most part. At least on slates where there's been a decision, like, you know, like this one, there's, I don't know, maybe, like, do you think people just don't even play him? Maybe just Gross goes unowned because people just play Saka and the Palace guys and you don't even really have to worry about it.
Yeah, I think in like the $25 double ups, I think it's going to be like 80% Saka. If Olise doesn't play, I think people are going to prefer Saka and Eze just, because they play a little bit more forward. But I mean, it really kind of feels cheap. Okay, we on this program have talked down on Pascal Gross quite a lot. But in games where Brighton are really possessing the ball, they're more quote unquote defensive players, you see them get into really good attacking positions and they sort of have a free flowing attack. I mean, Pascal Gross sort of goes wherever he wants and he likes to cross and he likes to shoot from distance quite a bit. So I'm kind of over this, you know, the Pascal Gross position type of thing. You know, if he's taking a monopoly of set pieces, which might not be guaranteed, right? We have a recent match where he split with a Stupinon. I know that didn't necessarily happen in Cup. I got five set pieces for Gross and five for Stupinon in their last Premier League game. Maybe that's enough just to take people off and just side with Saka and Eze, who are a little bit more consistent in open play. But I mean, man, I mean, it always feels bad to fade Pascal Gross, but maybe that's the move in tournaments to maybe lean into, you know, he has a big ceiling, has a big floor, and if he scores a goal on top of that, you're looking at a player who can score 30 points, and how many players are really capable of that on the slate?
Yeah, you hit on like two important points that I guess I'm factoring in the most. One, Estupiñán split the sets in the last Premier League game. Would you say it was 6-6?
5-5.
5-5. And then he took two in the cup last week and Gross took one. So, I mean, I guess you could say like an even split the last two games. And that just kind of takes you off Gross for cash games, you know. But I agree with what you said about the position thing. Like, I think we were just, or at least I was just wrong for a while, sort of downgrading him based on his perceived position. Like, yeah, he plays everywhere, especially in like good matchups like this. You know, it's been notable and they talk about it during matches, like he has a license to roam anywhere, like unlike few players have. So yeah, that's like a good observation and good thing to keep in mind. He definitely has a ceiling. I mean, we've seen him do plenty from open play this year as well. But yeah, the fact that he's not like taking a monopoly of set pieces with this Estupiñán there has got to rule him out for cash games.
Yeah, I think the monopoly of set pieces had sort of impacted that he's had some better floor performances. You know, it gives him a couple, like, you know, 3 points extra or something. If that's diluted a little bit, I feel like it makes it easier to go with the certainly more forward players in Eze and Saka, who also have a track record of massive floors. I mean, you know, we're just talking about in a vacuum. Ooh, fading Gross feels bad, but playing Gross involves fading one of Eze and Saka, which, you know, I'm just going to pick the lesser of the evils in that case. Yeah, I think those are the two expensive options. I don't think you can jam three really expensive options. It's just not much value and you wouldn't have enough to spend at defender. There's some interesting forward options though in tournaments. I mean, you have some favored forwards that are expensive in Watkins, Pedro, and Jesus. We already talked about Gross. There's going to be some other plays as well. Ryan, I kind of think there's a lot of cheap options to be playing in one of our forward spots, especially with some dual midfield eligibility. So some cheap forwards for tournaments, which look good. Isak is really cheap. I mean, Danny Welbeck is cheap for the good total in a matchup, and so are the Crystal Palace forwards. But looking at some of these guys with midfield eligibility, I was a bit surprised. I think Anthony Gordon, he's really cheap. Isn't he? Like, how expensive is Anthony Gordon? I'm going to check my sheet.
He's 59.
That feels pretty cheap. You got 4,500 for Miguel Almiron, which doesn't, I mean, normally he's priced about 2,000 more than that. And then Ogbene on Luton Town, he has a pretty big floor at 4,800 as well. The spend downish range at forward, maybe even use some of these guys in the midfield spot from a cash game point of view, they seem like pretty good value because I think they're just better than the midfield only options. What do you think about some of the value, the cheaper options that are salary relief?
I think Ogbene seems like the best one. You know, I don't want to steal your thunder, but isn't he popping in your projections? I wanted to ask you, is this the first slate, first Premier League slate where you're using your own projections?
Yeah, I got bored over the period. So I just, I was inspired by our friend of the show, Basil Nabi. I mean, the way he approached it is like, it doesn't have to be perfect. Just do something straightforward. So I thought, let's do a couple straightforward things that I could do. I learned a little bit of Excel. I learned how to import sheets and stuff. It's really not basic, and everything I put out requires a heavy dose of context, but even when I add a little bit of context, like Luton are almost always underdogs when they play, and Ogbene, over his last 10 matches, he's averaging a floor of around 8 at 4,800, and we've seen him put up some pretty big games. I don't know, do you think Luton can bother Brighton, or do you think Brighton are just going to suffocate in terms of possession? It is Brighton against Luton, right? All right, very good. But do you think that Aubameyang could get a floor against Brighton? That's kind of the big question. If the matchup is prohibitive, then, you know, you just kind of have to say, I know better.
It's tough. It's tough. I guess I think for 4,800, he seems underpriced, but I guess like sometimes Brighton dominate games and sometimes they don't. Like, we've seen them allow plenty of goals too. So I think that's the part that just makes it okay for me. Like, he's cheap and we've seen Brighton concede goals. I worry about like the floor a little, because I don't think Luton will have too much possession. And I do think it's probably a pretty tough matchup on Estupiñán's side. I guess we'll have to see how that goes. I don't know. But yeah, I do like it for 4,800 for sure. And I think your projections are like a good idea, by the way. And what Basil said was spot on. Like, nobody can like do it perfectly. It's impossible, you know? So that's not really what you're looking for anyways. The Newcastle guys, yeah, they're cheap. DraftKings is, you know, you mentioned the prices on Newcastle all around. Villa has kept three straight clean sheets, clean sheet against Arsenal, clean sheet against City. I didn't include those. There was like five clean sheets in their last like eight games or something like that. But yeah, like I could see that game being back and forth. You could take a chance on some of those Newcastle guys. I think for cash, I'd just play Ogbeni though. He's cheaper. He's been playing 90 minutes, and you mentioned what, 8 point floor, and Luton are normally underdogs.
Sorry, I was on mute. I feel like you want to make an adjustment for matchups, right? You can always say, oh, what's the matchup? But like roughly on average, Luton are pretty big underdogs in every match, and Aubameyang still puts up decent numbers. So I think this isn't prohibitively worse than other matchups. You know, like Brighton are a tough matchup and maybe he should be dinged a little bit. And if you do, then I think there are alternative options. But Aubameyang seems like a decent shout in this spot. And I don't know, maybe I'll lean into my numbers and then you can hear me cry about it on Twitter tomorrow evening. But there are other options. Again, I think Anthony Gordon's too cheap. Miguel Almiron, I think, is too cheap. He has a little bit more maybe goal upside in him again, but Newcastle are pretty big underdogs, and that clean sheet stuff that you mentioned is pretty crazy. What about the Everton forwards, Ryan? I think we spent about 5 minutes complaining about Dominic Calvert-Lewin, but Adam has Beto projected in at 4K. I mean, come on, that's just dirt cheap for a forward who should play 70 minutes. And I mean, what are his goal scoring odds? They can't be much worse than plus 200. What do you think?
Yeah, that's awfully cheap. I mean, 4K for, yeah, I don't know. You know, it's the sort of the Chris Wood thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can compare Beto to Chris Wood, but it's similar, you know, 4K forward. Like, what if Carlton Morris starts? He's been starting. He's 4K. That might feel even better to me than Beto. But yeah, I mean, 4K for forwards, like, yeah, that seems fine. But they've been pretty bad. Like, that game has the lowest total. We were tilting Calvert-Lewin the other day. But yeah, I guess I wouldn't mind taking a chance on 4K Beto.
Yeah, 4K is just dirt cheap. Know. Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
It's like, yeah.
I've seen enough. He sucks. Like,
it just makes sense too. Like, in for the nature of the slate, you're going to want to spend up for all the guys we talked about. So you're going to need punts, and it's going to make that mid range go overlooked, I would think.
I was just going to ask you that. I think the best constructions, though, you're going to be spending up probably twice at defender. There are some defenders to choose from. And then you're mostly looking at barbell type constructions, a couple studs and then a couple of players in the 4K range. It is going to squeeze the mid range quite a lot. And there are tempting options. So do you think there are ways to get there and how you would sacrifice? Do any of these mid-range options seem appealing to you as a tournament player, Ryan?
Yeah. I mean, really, though, just like because they're not going to carry ownership. The Fulham guys, I guess, I seem like interesting tournament plays.
I mean, Mooney's 4,400 if he starts. You can throw him in cash game, maybe. Yeah, but you're talking about Beto.
Yeah, I don't know. Then, I mean, who haven't we talked about? You mentioned Welbeck. Is what? How much is Welbeck? Yeah, 67. That's.
You have
Yeah, I don't
Edouard
know.
in
That.
there. You have Mateta if Elise doesn't start. So, I mean, 6K price for
Oh
three
yeah.
Palace forwards.
Sorry, I missed Mateta because he's in the lineup that I made. So yeah, I do like a couple guys in that range.
Yeah, I think if you can make it work, you might have to. I think there is salary available. People might just feel comfy with like a couple 4Ks and a couple expensive players. But if you rearrange some
I'm
pieces,
thinking
you maybe
about,
get lucky. Go ahead.
yeah, no, I just I'm thinking about saving some money at Defender. We might have a different opinion there.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Like if people, yeah, if people, especially if people want to spend up, I could save money at Defender, I think, on this slate.
Well, we'll get into it shortly because fortunately, midfield, I really don't think there's as much to discuss at midfield. A ton of the options we mentioned carry midfield eligibility. And I think the cheap 4K forwards are a little bit better than cheapish midfielders. I don't know, Ryan, maybe you can point out some cheaper options that you like. I guess if we're talking about midfield only options, if Olise starts, I'm inclined to play him at 9,400, even if it's only going to be like 60, 70 minutes. I'm a little bit rosier on minutes projections. I've gotten burned being too conservative on them before. And I mean, Olise can still put up a decent score within 60 minutes, sort of like what you would imagine the worst case scenario is. Hopefully he doesn't start so that it's a little bit easier. But I mean, then you're looking at options like Odegaard, who's fine, but a little expensive. Luiz is fine, but a little bit expensive. McGinn is too expensive if he's not guaranteed to be on set pieces. You know, Doughty is $2,500 more than Ogbene. I mean, do any of these expensive midfield only options type appeal to you, or do you think you're going to be taking dual eligible players and throwing them in your midfield spot?
Yeah, for cash, I think I would play Olise for 94. I think I'm a little more aggressive on projecting minutes, and maybe sometimes that's burned me in the other way. Or, but yeah, I think, I mean, I'd expect him to play 75 plus minutes if he started, especially if he's trained all week. Like it sounds good. Sounds good to me. I mean, it wouldn't shock me. Yeah, 80 plus minutes wouldn't shock me. It's just a great matchup. So for tournaments, though, I mean, I'd have some interest in the Arsenal guys. 8,600 Trossard, 8,500 Odegaard. I just don't, I'm not sure how much they get played on this slate. Douglas Luiz, your boy, he's not going to be played.
He takes
Can score
penalties.
a penalty kick and put up a big score. McGinn for 8K2. Yeah, those guys are interesting tournament plays because you feel like they'll be the sub 10%, like for sure, you know.
I think you just have to figure out a way for the chalky, expensive players, as a Saka and Gross. You have to imagine if they don't go nuclear, the guys that we're talking about who are a little cheaper and who are definitely worse plays, like, oh, I don't want to play, you know, Odegaard instead of Saka necessarily. But these are guys who realistic enough of the time, I think, in top heavy GPP formats can beat these players. I mean, we're talking about a 700 person $5 king of the pitch this week. So I think maybe just launching into it and clicking all right, Eze, Saka, and then optimize. I think that's kind of a that's going to be the way that a lot of people play. And I think if you're brave to pivot off the chalk and maybe, you know, save 2K here and then spend up for a mid price guy somewhere else, I think that might be a good way to tackle certain tournament formats. I mean, you're going to get screwed a lot of the times, right? Because, I mean, it's easy to imagine Sokken as a just going nuclear. But given how I think ownership's going to work out, just talking from it with you, it's got to be considered at least.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. What are you going to do with Andreas Pereira at 6,700?
I don't know how many people are going to play him. It's, you know, this whole 6K range, whether it's midfield or forward only, I think they're probably all just going to be a little underowned with respect to their, you know, top 10 percentile outcomes.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, for cash games, I wouldn't worry about it, but yeah, that whole range is interesting for tournaments.
Yeah. One guy that my system that I've
Oh,
been using.
Alfie, sorry.
Oh, Alfie, go ahead.
Who are you going to mention?
I was going to talk about a budget option, but you can talk about Alfie, who's
Oh, no,
7,500.
no, yeah, I just meant to throw him in there with Pereira. he'll go unowned, and if he gets a goal or an assist with he's the same type of play that could put up 20 plus points with a goal or an assist, and like nobody's gonna play him.
Yeah, and you just have to hope that the expensive guys score the same, because then you've saved salary and hopefully you can win somewhere else.
Right.
Maybe a tough ask, but I don't know.
Okay, who are you gonna mention?
Someone who is projecting as a value who's had good floors. If you look at the cheat sheet, Bruno Guimarães, he's averaging 8.6 floor points. I mean, maybe he's got a petulant yellow card in him. I feel like he's run good not to get sent off lately. But this is a player who's back to maybe, you know, last year towards the end of the year, he wasn't shooting as much, and I was a little frustrated. I remember thinking this. I'm like, I used to be able to play Bruno in a showdown, you know, as a cheap flex play, because I thought he could get up to 7 points. I think he's maybe back to those old ways. 4,300. I don't know. Seems like a pretty reasonable punt option and value. I think that's one I have my eyes on. Ryan, do your observations of Newcastle match the spreadsheets?
Yeah, I think it's a tough spot, but just on the slate, they're the value. Even like Miley for 3,500, Longstaff is 3,700. Like, so
those, and then as well, yeah.
Bruno at 40, like all of them, right? And Newcastle have injuries. A lot of injuries, actually, with Joe Linton out, Willock, Tonali. Like, those guys are going to – two or all three of them are going to play 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems fine. You might think this is funny. I thought Bruno was just a little bit too close to Jefferson Lerma at 4,700. I was giving him a little bump for the Sheffield matchup.
I think you could do that too. Yeah. I mean, you might spend in that range.
Yeah. No, I just go the cheapest for cash.
Yeah. I don't think there's going to be, go ahead.
No. Sorry. I just got sidetracked. I was looking at Brighton's last game where Buonanotte scored, or however you say his name. I think he scored a nice goal. He's looked pretty good recently. Like, he's definitely going to get subbed early, but he could score a goal in for you in tournaments. And I don't know. There's just not a lot. Like, there's not a lot of guys with too much upside.
Yeah. He's a frustrating play. He gets subbed at like 45 minutes quite a bit, but I mean, if he plays a bit longer, he's a good value at his price. Like you said, you're getting 75 minutes in a good matchup, more attacking player for Brighton in a good spot. I mean, I keep on saying these Newcastle guys, and Ryan, you keep on rightly saying they are underdogs. It's a tough game against Villa, and I have to like internalize this because Newcastle have been favored so much this season. So I'm like, oh, Anthony Gordon next door. But in terms of the matchup, I mean, one of notes probably has
They are really cheap, though. You know, people are really, and myself included, just sort of buying into Villa. And, you know, going to Villa is going to be tough, especially for Newcastle, who's kind of struggled. But, yeah, they're all really cheap. So I wouldn't mind playing any of them. I will play some of those midfielders, I'm sure, in tournaments. Yeah. Like, if I'm making 20 lineups for that king of the pitch, and if you're trying to jam, like, say Olise starts, and you're trying to jam two or three of those guys, like, yeah, I'm just going to click these 4K guys. If it's Chong who starts instead of Carlton Morris, like, I'll play Chong for 3,900, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Miley, I think there's plenty of names that you can click. You're requiring an underdog goal, but that's kind of just how the pricing works out. I noticed Andre Gomez, your boy Ryan, 3,400. He took some set pieces in his most recent start for Everton. That is something to keep an eye on.
Yeah. He hasn't started for a while. I always see him like projected to start, and oh, I see we have him marked as out. Oh, he has a new injury, according to our notes. Yeah, I don't know.
Never mind.
Have played him anyways, but.
Well, yeah, I think that's about it for the midfield, though. These mid-price guys, it's going to be tough to afford them. You have some ownership pivots at the top end for midfield on good spots, and maybe spray and pray at that cheaper range. I think there's a lot of merits to a lot of plays in that area.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
But I think we can get to the defender position. Ryan's promising some spicy takes about the state of the defender position. On the face of it, it looks like there's three really standout options, at least three to me. Trippier is always a good play, taking most of Newcastle's set pieces. His floor hasn't been the best lately, but there's been some tricky matchups. So, you know, when there's a game against City recently, it's not going to look as good necessarily. But I mean, for 7K, it is in that tough spot against Villa. So you wonder, are Villa going to dominate possession? Are Villa going to sort of invite Newcastle and then try to get them on the counter? That's how Villa approach the game. That's definitely going to impact Trippier's floor in this matchup. Then you have Estupiñán, 1K cheaper at 6,000, taking some set pieces, and people are playing Estupiñán even if he doesn't have set pieces. So I don't feel like that has necessarily been priced in. And then I like Alex Moreno. He's had a good per 90 floor for Aston Villa. He almost scored a lovely goal when I played him way too much in an FA Cup fixture recently. I think Moreno is a really good play. And Ryan, my temptation, at least in tournaments, is just to say, well, let's just assume Villa kind of choke Newcastle a little bit. Estupiñán and Moreno can keep up with a good Trippier performance and you save some money. I don't know. How do you see the defender position?
No, I see it similarly. I want to wait and see on Brighton's formation. They've been all over the place recently. Like where Estupiñán, he played in a back three a couple games ago, but he played on the wing most recently. So yeah, obviously now he's taking a couple set pieces. He looks like a pretty good play. My initial reaction is that when I opened the slate and was looking at everything, was that I could fade Trippier just because there was other decent defenders for cheaper. And, you know, it hasn't gone great for Trippier lately, even from DFS wise. And it's just a tough matchup. I like your take about Moreno. I mean, you've been right about Moreno. Unlucky not to get that goal on that last slate. But that's a direct matchup, Moreno up against Trippier. But yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. You save some money. Maybe Villa are the dominant team. Moreno gets an assist. You know, yeah, I think you can fade Trippier in tournaments. Again, Estupiñán. I might rank him number one if it looks like if he's on the wing for sure, then I'm probably not going to fade him. It's just you can't now that he's taking some set pieces, in my opinion. I thought Jedi Robinson for 4,900 was a pretty good play. So I thought maybe I could save 2,100 going from Trippier to him. I mean, he seems to have an 8-9 point floor when, you know, Fulham are in decent spots at home or neutral spots at home. So yeah, I don't know. I don't see it too differently than you. I just thought that maybe that I wouldn't have a problem fading Trippier. I even might be able to convince myself on some cheaper plays even.
Yeah, I shouldn't downplay Moreno. Looking in his past 10 games, he's got an 8.1 point floor. And I think, you know, Fulham being about even money, that's about typical of their usual matchup. So I agree with you on his 8 to 9 point floor. He does so much damage, especially when I don't play him, because that's the only time I notice it. But he can be crossing a ton. And it could be a pretty good matchup, at least for the fullbacks in that full match. So yeah, Moreno, much cheaper than Trippier. He's not going to project like Trippier, but I mean, come on, that's a pretty good play. Yeah, I guess the avenues are there. There are good fullbacks who are priced well enough. Trippier's not too cheap or anything like that. The matchup isn't too good to pass up on. If there's players that can keep up with him, I think the fade is viable in any format, really. We'll just have to see how the lineups look and how the formations look.
Yep. So cheaper. It's just worth mentioning that I'm not sure that they're going to continue this, but Palace have played wingbacks the last two games. And one of them was against Arsenal, where they were going to get dominated the whole game and might have done that just to try to absorb some of the pressure. But I think they did it in the game before that as well. And I mean, Mitchell's 3,500. I mean, part of it is the matchup. I don't like to play these Palace guys, but the home matchup with Sheffield is pretty good. 3,500 Mitchell. I don't know. I'll keep an eye on that.
Who is the other wing back? If it's Mitchell and
Klein, they're the same price.
Okay. Yeah.
Mitchell's just, yeah, I would think so.
Some other plays that look decent who have like been played a decent amount lately, even in like these FA Cup slates. Vitaly Mykolenko has been starting to get a floor lately. I think there was like one pivotal slate where I was like, should I play Mykolenko? And then I looked back and he wasn't flooring. And ever since then, I think he scored a goal that slate. He's been a bit more active going forward. At 4,000, about a 6 point floor last 10 matches. It seems like there's some value to mine at the defender position, like you said. Do any other cheap options stand out to you, Ryan?
We have Nuno Tavares projected, but is he still an Arsenal player?
No, Nottingham Forest. Like, it's the revenge game.
Right, I know, but I didn't think he could play.
Oh, you thought he was
loaned
from
Arsenal. I thought he was loaned. Maybe, I guess I'm wrong. Okay.
How long has he been on the Arsenal books then? It's been a while since Nuno Tavares. I think those are back in the day when like Dele Alli was still scoring on Arsenal. So
I mean,
if I remember well,
I swear I think he's still on Arsenal. I'm pretty sure, but
I'll let you figure that out. We got George here in the chat. Finally a real slate. Oh, sorry, Ryan, go ahead.
No, seriously. Finally a real slate. No, he's been taking corners. That's why. 3,100. I mean, against Arsenal, I don't think he's going to play, so shouldn't even talk about him. And I guess probably wouldn't play him against Arsenal anyways. I don't know. Who are you talking about?
Who looks a little defenders? Bit cheaper? Nathan Patterson, yeah. 3,200 for Everton. If you just need salary. I mean, you're talking about using a 3K, a Lewis Smiley. Maybe I'd rather play a Nathan Patterson. Hell, I might even rather play like a John Paul Van Heck. You know, he's someone who gets some shots, sometimes gets them on target. He's shown a decent floor, and it's for a center back, but I mean, it's a little bit noticeably better than other center backs. So he seems underpriced at 3,300. I think it was mostly Patterson and him that were sticking out to me as two good value options if you want to spend way down.
So Van Heck's just a better play than Lewis Dunk now? Is that where we are?
Oh, I forgot about Lewis Dunk. No. Lewis Dunk is a better play.
They're both the same price. They're both 3,300.
Wow. Yeah, there's Lewis Dunk just taking direct free kicks sometimes.
That's what right? He averages more than a shot per game. I mean, we've seen him score plenty of goals. Yeah, I missed Patterson. Patterson would be better than Nuno Tavares.
Yeah, former King of the Pitch winner once told me, don't play guys on the road at Arsenal. So I might just
Yeah, it's a pretty good rule, actually, especially, these days with Arsenal under Arteta. I'm not really anxious to play Forest guys against them.
Yeah. So how do you think you're going to approach defender? I mean, I'm talking through it, and I guess my first impression was, you know, I'll just play, you know, Moreno and Estupiñán in every single lineup. In tournaments, I've noticed that that strategy is pretty meta now. I think people are going to be pretty happy to click those two. Maybe when that was underutilized back in the golden days, Ryan, that was just how you printed money. Do you think that's still how you print money in soccer DFS tournaments in 2024? Or do you have to be a little bit more brave and play guys like, you know, Anthony, Jedi Robinson, you know, maybe hope that you get a Lewis Dunk free kick goal, something like that. Just get off the beaten path and maybe just get leverage on the chalk construction. I don't know. What do you think? Is that
I mean,
now?
I think that's like an inner, you just like tilted me, because that's an inner monologue that, yeah, I have all the time. I don't know. I couldn't really have said it better than that. Yeah, it's annoying that kind of everybody just plays like that now. Feels like the best way to play, though. You know, like I was thinking about that today for this slate. Like, just like you said, play the, you said Estupiñán and Moreno, even Trippier and Moreno, like it. The simplest way to explain it was like, you just always play the defenders who are going to score the most points, because you can just make up those points somewhere else. Like, so why wouldn't you just like, cause you're good enough to make up these points other places, you know, you know, especially if you know a little ball, then why wouldn't you take the guaranteed most points at a certain position? Because you're going to be able to figure it out somewhere else. So I still, you know, that's still the way I like to approach slates, because it seems like that's how you score the most amount of fantasy points the most often. I don't know if that's how you win slates the most often anymore. Yeah, it's sort of depressing. You like sent me into a little mini depressive spiral thinking about that. It's just not as it's just not as easy to crush anymore. You're right. I don't know. Everybody does that. So yeah, sorry. I went off on a tangent, but yeah, it has me wanting to just fade Trippier, try to find 10 points from Jedi, try to, you know, get an assist. You know, one of my Palace guys gets an assist from the Palace fullback, you know, shit like that, where that never happens and you just lose to Trippier's 15 point floors to, you know, because I'm the one that tries to get different, and then you just, you know, you should have played the defense, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I mean, you just open up tournaments and like sometimes like on these slates, you see like two expensive defenders, and in tournament formats, they're both like 60%. So everyone's just clicking and then building out the other six spots. But maybe there's a bit of an NBA DFS phenomena. Maybe that's too little. You just keep, dare the field to pivot off. It's tough to know. I mean, it's beyond my abilities to know, you know.
I've been trying to do it more. I find myself trying to fade chalk and defender chalk more so than I ever have. And it definitely results in more variance. Yeah. You know, it feels pretty stupid when you get it wrong too. Like, you know, just cause it's the best strategy in a vacuum. So yeah. To go away from it, you know?
Yeah. It's maybe a bit similar to like some of my showdown struggles recently. And I'm sorry, this isn't about the slate, but you know, in showdown, I was just jamming a ton of 1-0 construction. You know, the 1-0 wasn't quite hitting. So I'm like, okay, I'm not going to win. And I think there were like two slates in a row where I absolutely nailed it. And like, I didn't even get like many lineups into the top 1% just because that was like a tactic that everyone was doing. And so like, in the showdown format, I absolutely felt that. And so, you know, then I get off of it, and then, you know, I haven't been playing goalies as much in showdown as I've used to. And then I see goalie constructions win, and then I'm just like automatically, oh, I would have won because I played goalies. Like, no, I've literally been jamming goalies, and it just, when it hits, I haven't quite been winning. So what does that say? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I just suck at showdown. That's the most obvious sort of.
No, man. Sort of, no, point I'm of laughing view. Because. But, no, finish. Go ahead.
But it's we're talking about min cashing. It's like, oh, do I feel good because I have lineups in the 10%? Lineups in the 10%, you get, you know, you turn, you know, whatever your entry fee is into 50% more. I mean, that's hardly a win.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm laughing because it's been the same for me. And you're talking to someone who, I mean, I've gone all in on 1-0, you know, 2-0 clean sheet showdown lineups forever. I mean, as far as I can remember, I can't tell you how many slates I've played 100% of the keeper on. And then, yeah, like it happened. Everybody does that now. And yeah, like you get the slate right, especially me. I'm not checking the DraftKings score. So I'm just like watching the game. And then I'll go check after and think, oh, you know, maybe I won this slate. I must have crushed. At a minimum, I crushed, but I probably won, you know. And then I go check and it's like, you barely made a profit, you know.
Ninth place.
I've had plenty of those. Yeah, I've had plenty of those. So yeah, I don't know. I'm there with you. It's a little bit depressing because, yeah, I guess the lobby is. I don't know if sharper is the right word, but everybody plays more similar than ever before. So yeah, I find myself trying to do different things.
Yeah, I think it's just good to remember, like, it's not like things are always good, right? When the field does something else, there are other moves available to us, and it's going to be higher variance as, you know, our opponents get a little bit more skilled.
Yeah, Jack, you know, I had to switch to playing subs in Showdown just to try to get some kind of edge, and thankfully I won two Showdowns with sub this year, but even that edge isn't there anymore because you got people just jamming subs in Showdown. And I mean like jamming subs and all of them. So like even with the sub lineup you're hoping to chop, it's getting tough out there.
It's tough in the Showdown streets. Shout out Jesus Runner if you're listening. Throwing winning King of the Pitch tickets in 23 man fields or something with subs. Just so sick.
Insane. Shout out Jesus Runner. I don't think there's any DFS player that, if they didn't exist, like, I don't know how to say it, but impacts my bottom line more than he does. If he just didn't exist, yeah, I'd have more money.
Maybe you can send him on a vacation somewhere so that it might be worth the investment. Let's just bring it back to this slate. Again, why are we going on this rant is because, you know, jamming in two of the three top defenders, that's going to be a popular tactic. But because of that, we can maybe gain leverage in construction. There's a lot of things we've been talking about this slate, right? There's 6K guys who have decent ceilings who are tough to pay for if you spend up twice a defender. Okay, so they might be worthwhile, right? There's two expensive guys that we want to play. And so you're funneled out of those if you're paying up a defender. So there's almost like too much overlap in like the type of construction, like how many lineups are going to come out with. You have Saka, Eze or Gross, and then two expensive defenders. Then everyone is literally just spending 4K in the rest of your spots, and you're playing roulette, hoping that, you know, Albert Sambi Lokonga randomly gets the assist. It just feels like a sort of brutal way to play. It has that 1-0 Showdown feel to it. So because of those dynamics of what I expect to happen, and because there are good defenders, you know, we're not touting like a, you know, Jaden Bogle out here. Like, we're talking about like guys like Anthony Robinson who have legit ceiling games. You know, we're talking about Lewis Dunk, who could score off a free kick or get an assist off a free kick or something like this. So because there are good options and there are ways to, you know, get off of the chalk construction, I think it has merit. And I don't know. Hopefully I don't brick.
Yeah, I do too. I worry that, well, not worry, but like I would try to get a third expensive guy. But then then you're still dealing with the 4K guy. You're still going to need the 4K guys if you do it that way. You know, the mid range is tough though. Like we mentioned that a lot of that range is just going to go unowned, and it's, you know, it's because they're not the greatest options. So I might not mind if I can get one more expensive guy and someone wants to try to jam the two expensive defenders against me. Like, see if you can pick out the 6K or 7K guy and go up against my 10K guy who's going to drop 30 points. You know, you're hoping for something like that. I don't know. You can go either way.
Yeah. I think this info is too good for a free show, Ryan. I think we're...
Yeah,
giving away too many.
Should we talk about goalkeeper?
Yeah,
I think the info has been too good for free shows for years now, and that's why the contests are like they are now, and that's why we're talking about this now.
Yeah, maybe we need to give people a false sense. So, who's a bad play. You know, Chris Wood for 5,700, and then you can play Arsenal players against him and then win in the onslaught. So there you go. That's your play, everyone. Make sure to jam that into the
Chris Wood for all the money.
Yeah, Chris Wood and then six Arsenal players.
Chris Wood. Chris Wood's hat trick against Newcastle is unbelievable. So I'm not putting it past him.
That is a very fair point. Yeah. The disdain that you had for talking about goalkeeper, Ryan, that was something else. But we have a lovely new feature on the cheat sheet. Goalie stats have been missing for a long while. And I don't know, I basically wrote a goalkeeper article that says almost nothing matters except for win odds. But if you want to kind of look a little bit, you know, get into the micro issues, and I think there's an edge to be gained there about how your goalkeepers play. We have all of the stuff you could want. We got accurate passes. We have saves, inside and outside the box saves. That's actually a very interesting statistic. And then we have floor. I believe floor includes wins. I think we talked to Adam about that, but we have to double check that. Robin Olsen's floor is not 45 points. Well, this is a beta feature right now. But I don't know, Ryan. I was looking at goalkeeper. I was leaning towards spending down. You know, I keep on talking about these Luton guys. You know, maybe Kaminsky is a decent goalkeeper you can play. I don't know. I mean, all these clean sheets. Emi Martinez seems like a pretty decent deal at 5,100. Who looks decent at goalkeeper to you, Ryan?
I was thinking of spending down. Yeah, Emi looks okay, like for tournaments. But in general, I was thinking of spending down. I don't know. Like, I've tried getting the Arsenal clean sheet, and it never seems to work out. And I'm just not going to pay 5,900 for them on the road. I just don't do it. I would play the Palace keeper if I spent up for any of them. I'm not going to play Brighton keeper on the road. I mean, tournaments maybe, but I guess, are we just talking about cash games?
We're just talking about anything. I mean, in cash games,
just anything. Like, I mean, I'm spending down.
Yeah.
For sure. Right. Like, for sure, spend down in cash games. At least that's what I think. I don't know. If I wanted to spend up, I don't mind Henderson, I guess, but I think I'll be spending like Emmy and below pretty much for all my lineups. Like, yeah. Jack, if I'm going to fade one of those defenders, I'm not going to just, I don't think I'm going to waste that money to spend up at keeper on a five game slate. You know, you're kind of defeating the purpose.
There's too many good plays at 5 and 6K range that are,
you need to milk all the money out of the slate. Yeah. Like, if you're going to do it that way, at least that's how I feel.
You know, there should be an upset somewhere in here. You know, good luck finding it. But, you know, we're talking about five teams. Go ahead.
I do think in smaller field stuff, I think there's merit to spending up. But, like, in the main GPP and the king of the pitch $5, I'll be just playing a lot of these cheaper keepers.
Yeah, I mean, you know, decent chance that, you know, one of Leno or Pickford, they're affordable. You know, either of them could get win clean sheet. Maybe that happens enough. They're worth going at. You know, not confident about Matt Turner, but, you know, there are certain circumstances where Kaminsky has good performances. You know, you don't necessarily need a win in these cases. You just need two goals conceded and maybe one goal conceded and six saves. And look, you have a cheap guy who put up 8 points. And that might be good enough as long as no other goalkeeper goes thermonuclear, which that often happens on one of these. But maybe you land on the guy who does go thermonuclear in that case. Yeah, I think the money is worth being milked in this case. I think you want to get up to more expensive players, especially if it upgrades like a 4K outfielder.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, well, I think we've talked quite a few angles. I mean, it's a big slate. First time back. We even got about a 10-minute whining session about the state of the lobby in. So all in a good day's work, Ryan. I don't know. Do you have anything else for the people before we sign off?
Yeah, I mean, I just sort of felt like I was rambling about nonsense most of the podcast. But, you know, it's good to be back. Excited to watch the games tomorrow.
I'll tell you what, my partner in Rocket League, we say the first one doesn't count. This is the first one of 2024. This is our warm-up show. We won't be saying or like, you know, no interrupting each other. We're just going to be spitting fire. going forward?
Yeah, you know, I guess we didn't touch like too much on specific GPP stuff. I don't know. Maybe we did. No, we didn't mention Villa at all. I kind of noticed that. Well, you know, we glossed over the midfielders, but like the forwards. We don't have Diaby projected to start, but he's the only cheap one. He's interesting, but no one's going to play like Ollie Watkins or, and I just, Villa scored 5 goals on Newcastle last time. I don't know. Worth mentioning. I just feel like we talked about pretty much every other, I don't know, team.
Yeah. Well, I kept on belligerently talking about Newcastle, but there are good plays and a much better matchup for Villa. So you're right. I mean, Watkins at 9,500. I don't think anyone's going to play him. I keep playing Moussa Diaby and I keep getting screwed, but it does feel like he's a player who has some upside. So I'll have to maybe a couple lineups with him going back to the well. Yeah. I mean, I think maybe one thing I got out of this is I shouldn't undervalue these Aston Villa forwards. So if you're still listening, I think that would be a good place to mine, especially because they're a little too expensive, but I think the ceiling is demonstrably there.
Yeah, definitely too expensive. And I sometimes try to force a piece from that last game because it'll, I think just no one's going to play it.
Oh, that's true, right? It's the last green check.
Yeah, it appears. Like, no one's going to play it. You know, they wouldn't play it anyways if all these games started at the same time. And just the fact that it's last.
Yeah. You can get your late swaps in, Ryan. How the first 40 minutes go, then you can reconfigure your piece. Oh,
there's no way I'm getting late swaps in.
You don't have the late swap sim up and running?
I don't.
Funny.
It's not the worst idea, though, actually.
Like I've thought about it.
If you in like... not in anything big or like any main GPPs, but if you were like monitoring a big head to head or small high stakes stuff, and you know, you can tell if you're behind or ahead after the first 30 or 40 minutes or so.
Yeah. There's your GigaBrain strategy of the day on these weird 45 minute staggered starts. Oh, thank you all for listening. Thank you for joining. It's a lot of fun being back here. Give a thumbs up to the video, subscribe to the channel, subscribe to RotoWire if you haven't already. This stuff's way too cheap, so it would be lovely if you hopped on and joined and hopped in our Discord, play some League MX and chop it up with us. But on behalf of myself and Ryan, good luck, everyone, except in that King of the Pitch contest. I would like to win it. I'm a little starved for a win lately, so, you know, take it easy on me. But otherwise, good luck tomorrow.
Thanks, Jack. Good luck, everybody.